Well, good morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. It's such a joy to be here in this beautiful city of Perth, and I want to extend a very warm welcome to our pastors and our friends from the congregation, and thank you so much for being with us here. It's always great to come back. This is my favorite city in the world, you know, Perth. It's just a fantastic city, and I just love coming to Perth, me and my wife, and with so many good friends here. I want to thank Pastor Philip and Irene for this wonderful invitation to minister here this morning. It's such a joy and privilege. I've been with them over the last 2 days at the leaders' meetings. Before I begin the word today, I wanted to show you a little video. We had a conference this year, Kingdom Invasion Conference. We had Bill Johnson, we had Heidi Baker, we had we had Randy Clark and a few others. And next year, we're having Kingdom Invasion 2 in Singapore as well. And we want to extend a very warm invitation to all of you. If you can come from the 13th to the 16th of March, I'll just show you a little of the clips of some of the highlights of the conference. And of course, next year we have Heidi Baker, who is a very dear friend of ours, who will be with us. We had something like 4,500 people in day registrants and about 8,000 people in the evening services. So just watch this clip and then I'll come and introduce you.
Faith enough to declare what you think is going to happen creates faith.
I believe that if you are called to be the spring of living water, you just step in, Shaka Baba, and the environment changes.
Knock and continue knocking. Ask and don't stop asking. He draws us into that relationship. We're in the process. I am refined and conformed into a person with character that can handle the answer once it's released.
See, I not only want to be in a position to catch that wave, I want to be in a position to help create the wave. Rather than sitting back passively and saying, okay, I'm just out here in the water waiting for the wave to come, I'm wanting to be the one the Lord throws in to create the wave. Live with an attitude of expectancy.
All right, praise the Lord. That's 13th to the 15th of March, and if you can come and join us, that would be great in Singapore. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the epistle of Paul's epistles to the Ephesus church, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27, please. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27, and I want to speak today on the tree of life. And I think that this scripture is undoubtedly one of the greatest verses in the Bible, because we are told very clearly the kind of people that God is coming back for when he returns. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27, and we read these words, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Now, the Apostle Paul makes it very clear that the Lord is coming back for a bride, a glorious church without spot, without wrinkle. And this reference, without spot and wrinkle, of course, refers and points to our garments. When we get saved, we are given a garment, each of us, a garment of righteousness, a garment of salvation. And what we have done to ensure that this garment is without spot and without wrinkle is our responsibility. That she is without spot and wrinkle also refers to the purity, to the righteousness of the bride. But I also want to suggest to you this morning that without spot and wrinkle also speaks of the bride's ability to remain and stay youthful. That there is no signs of aging on the bride's face when the Lord comes. I tell you, when Jesus comes back, he's not coming back for an old hag. Amen. He's coming back for a beautiful, dead-drop, gorgeous, youthful-looking virgin. Hallelujah. Whoa. You know, the American Society of Plastic Surgery reported 9.5 million cosmetic procedures in 2010, 92% done on women. For Asians, the Koreans lead the way. From the ages of 20 to 30, 76% of all women have done some form of cosmetic surgery. Now, looking youthful today is a billion-dollar industry. People pay huge amounts of money just to look good and young all again. They go to plastic surgery. They go to do Botox, liposuction, cosmetic surgery, simply because they want to look younger or because they're not happy with the way they look. And the latest ads on TV and the newsprint scream at you. And I always remember a classic sermon by Derek Prince when he spoke on the four prides. He talked about the pride of race, and he talked about the pride of place, and he talked about the pride of grace, and he also talked about the pride of face. And when speaking about the pride of face, he said some people are very proud of the way they look, and the... I must have swallowed the sweet that I had in my mouth. Okay, he talked about how some people have beautiful features and they're so proud of their faces. And but give them 30 years and the inevitable will happen. They will lose their beauty. Now, since the earliest of time and through the ages, people of every generation have looked for the elixir of youth. And it's been the quest of every conqueror, every despot. Hollywood, of course, has glamorized this whole thing and about looking youthful in the new movies that they produce. And so from Indiana Jones all the way to the Pirates of the Caribbean, the quest of heroes is to find the Holy Grail, the fountain of everlasting youth. So the question we want to ask today is there really a fountain of life? Is there a way that you and I can maintain our youthfulness? Is there a way that we can maintain our countenance and be wrinkle-free? And you know, amazingly, God's Word gives us the answer. Whoa, hallelujah. If you study the Word of God, you will discover that there is a secret of looking spiritually youthful. Amen. All the days of our lives. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, this spiritual youthfulness can impact our physical countenance. We see in the life of a man called Caleb, who at the age of 85 was so rejuvenated by the power of God that he said to Joshua, as I was at 40, so I am now at 85. Ladies and gentlemen, he did not lose one iota of his strength. And at the age of 85, he was at the prime of his life. Whoa, hallelujah. What about Moses, who at 120 years of age did not lose an iota of his vigor and of his strength, and there was no diminishing of his eyesight, his manhood, or his strength? I tell you, this God can renew your strength. God can stir you up. God can cause you to mount up with wings like eagles. Hallelujah. You know, the only way for a branch to stay fresh and supple and full of sap is to abide in the vine. It is the life that is in the vine that keeps the branch alive and fruitful. And it's so with us as well. Our connection to the vine is the key to our youthfulness and our strength and our vigor and our vitality. You know, I see some mature people in this room today. I want to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, the best years of your life are ahead of you. Amen. You know, life is not measured by the number of breaths that we take. It's measured by the moments that take our breath away. And I tell you, these are some moments when we encounter with God. These are moments that take our breath away and cause us to be rejuvenated in the spirit. It's like an eagle that goes through a whole process of metamorphosis where it renews itself. The eagle comes to a place in its life where it knows that it either has to go into a place where it goes through a transformation or it dies. And so the eagle makes the choice and it flies into an isolated place where it goes through this amazing process for about 150 days and its feathers begin to shed and its beak, it breaks its beak and it goes through this entire change of process until at the end of 150 days, it comes out of this process a brand new eagle and it soars up with wings like eagles. Amen. Now, one of the most interesting concepts in the Word of God today, I think, is the idea of the tree of life. The tree of life is a fascinating subject that demands our attention. It is mentioned in three books in the Bible. It's mentioned in the book of Genesis. It's mentioned in the book of Revelations. But it's also mentioned in the book of Proverbs. In Genesis, the tree of life is what was. In the book of Revelation, it is what it will be. But in the book of Proverbs, it is what it is now today. In other words, we lost access to the tree of life in Genesis. We find it back again in the book of Revelation. But the book of Proverbs tells us and shows us how we can tap and connect to this tree of life in this present generation. Amen. Amen. The Genesis story is an amazing story. It's the tree of life is first mentioned in the book of Genesis.
The Lord planted a garden, a beautiful garden eastward of Eden. And we're told that in the garden, everything was wonderful, perfect, and in sync with the will of God. In the garden, God planted all kinds of beautiful trees, good for food. But right in the middle of the garden was the most gorgeous and beautiful tree of all, the tree of life. I believe that Adam was created an immortal being. There's a difference between immortality and eternity. God alone dwells in eternity. But Adam was created an immortal being. And I want to suggest to you that his immortality was sustained by partaking the fruit of the tree of life. In other words, each time Adam ate of the fruit of the tree of life, he was rejuvenated, he was invigorated, and his youth was restored to him. In other words, it was like a reset button. And every time he took of the tree of life, he was rejuvenated and invigorated. His youth was restored. And each time he ate the fruit, he was restored to the prime of his life. Death had no power over Adam because of the tree of life. The tree was the source of immortality. But there was another tree in the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And when Adam in his disobedience ate from that tree, death entered his being, and it resulted from him being driven out of the garden. Access to the tree of life was denied him, and he lost his immortality, and eventually all of mankind would suffer a common fate. Now, the quest of humanity, the quest of mankind has since been to rediscover the way back to this garden. Because in the garden is the tree of life, which is the source of immortality. Movies have been made about this. Poets have lamented over this. Books have been written about this tree of life. Conquerors have sought to find a way back to this mystical garden. And all have failed until a lamb was slain. Until a lamb was slain. The tree is also mentioned in the book of Revelation, which is in fact twice. In the book of Revelation chapter 22 and verses 1 and verses 2, which is a really fascinating chapter in scripture, which speaks about eternal destiny. Revelation chapter 22, let me just read the scripture to you. And he showed me a pure river of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of the street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit in every month. The leaves of the trees are for healings of the nations. Now, watch this. The tree in the book of Revelation is in the city of New Jerusalem, and it lines the river of life. It is scattered all across the city, lining the sides of this amazing river. And it's interesting that everything in heaven has in itself life. It is interesting that everything proceeds from the throne of God, this river of life, and the trees of life which line the river of life. Everything in heaven, the trees, the river, the fountains, everything has life. The life of God flows in everything. Hallelujah. The life is in the water. The life is in the trees which drinks from the living water and bears the fruit which contain the life of God. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be our eternal destiny when the garden is restored to us. Hallelujah. We will have access to this tree of life. Amen. Now, the good news is that not only do we have access in the future to the tree of life, that God is giving us some keys this morning to have access to the tree of life here and now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The book of Proverbs gives us a revelation of this amazing tree. And what God is giving us is some keys today to give us access to the tree of life even here and now. Now, while Genesis records our history and Revelation shows us our future, the book of Proverbs tells us how we can partake of the tree of life here and now. There is access to this tree, although on a limited basis, but we need to understand how to have access to the tree of life. The tree of life is what connects us to our eternal purpose and also our significance. Now, the first scripture I want to refer you to is the book of Proverbs, the 13th chapter, please. The book of Proverbs, the 13th chapter and verse 12. And let's read this together. It says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life." Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Whenever there is disappointment, and especially if you have experienced trauma in the disappointment, it is important that you stay before the Lord until your heart is healed, because at that moment, you're emotionally and spiritually vulnerable to disease, spiritual or physical. Now, we have to make sure that when we come to a place of quarantine where we do not get exposed to the stuff that we normally can handle, you have to learn to monitor your own heart's condition. Amen. And if you have a bent, ladies and gentlemen, towards condemnation, you have to build yourself around the boundaries so that you can stay within a safe environment until you get healed. Amen. It's so important. When hope is deferred, the heart actually gets sick. Trauma can destroy us if we're not careful. The deferral of hope can actually cause the heart to turn sick. But the desire released, ladies and gentlemen, is a tree of life. When your desires are fulfilled, wow, it releases life to us. There's nothing, ladies and gentlemen, more intoxicating than life. John says in John 1 and verse 4, in him was life, and life was the light of men. Hallelujah. Jesus did not just come to present us with a bunch of doctrines. He came to give us life and life more abundantly. Amen. And God does not leave us in hopeless situations. He has given us access to him through the agency of prayer. Now, I want to suggest to you this morning that prayer connects us with the tree of life. Prayer connects us with the tree of life. Now, the whole purpose of prayer is so that our prayers are answered. Amen. I pray not just for the purpose of discipline, because if you make discipline the goal of prayer, then you can turn out to be very pharisaical. Discipline of prayer is not the goal in prayer. The goal of prayer is so that God answers your prayer. Amen. And when those prayers are answered, it is like a tree of life. Hallelujah. Amen. It is the answers to our prayer that releases and connects us to this tree of life. And so I want to encourage you. Prayer connects us to the tree. The answer releases the fruit of the tree of life to us. Someone say amen. That's good. All right, let's look at the second verse. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 18. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 18. And it says, wisdom is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Happy are those who retain her. Wisdom is a tree of life. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing greater in life than wisdom, than to obtain wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the ability to make the right choices in life. Wisdom is the ability to live life skillfully. And I want to commend this to you, because there's nothing greater or nobler that you can ask God for than wisdom. I want to show you a scripture in Proverbs chapter 8. Excuse me. In verse 11, Proverbs the 8th chapter and verse 11. And it says, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all things that one may desire cannot be compared to her. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing on this earth that you can ask God that is higher than the quality of wisdom. Amen. Wisdom is a tree of life. You obtain wisdom, I tell you, it will rejuvenate you. It will revitalize you. And you can have access to the tree of life right here, right now, ladies and gentlemen. You don't need to look for that mystical garden somewhere in Shangri-La or some mysterious island. It is right here in your prayer closet. You can go to your prayer closet every day and enjoy this tree of life. And partake of the fruit and come out of it feeling a sense of youthfulness and strength like you've never felt before. Hallelujah. Amen. It is in prayer that we get a hold of wisdom, and it's the same as partaking of the fruit of the tree of life. Amen. Proverbs chapter 11 is the next scripture, and verse 30. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he who wins souls is wise. Amen. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Now, what affects the quality of the fruit of a tree is the water source. It's interesting that in the Garden of Eden, the tree of life is watered by the spring that comes out of Eden. Eden, by the way, was the first spring. And we start with a spring in the book of Revelation and Genesis, and we end with a spring in the book of Revelation that comes out from the throne of God himself. Now, the tree of life in the garden was watered by the fountain of life itself. The quality of life is in the water, and when it enters the tree, produces the fruit that sustains and rejuvenates us. That's why I think Psalm 1 is so vital for us to grapple with, and it's placed right at the beginning of the book of Psalms, because Psalms 1 helps us to understand the tree of life. And ladies and gentlemen, can I suggest that where you are planted is vital. Where you are planted is vital. And I just want to turn with you for a few moments to the book of Psalms, chapter 1. And just look at the scripture, just for a few moments. Because sometimes people say the craziest things, you know, like, doesn't matter which church I go to, as long as I go to church. Listen, the church that you go to makes a difference in your life. I personally believe that God handpicks the pastor of each church, and he also handpicks the congregation for the pastor. Amen. Amen. And it's so vital that you know where God has planted you. You've got to be planted by streams of living water. Amen. You've got to be refreshed constantly by the streams. Now, look at Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seats of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree. Wow. Planted by rivers of living water. You want to be in a church, ladies and gentlemen, where they're preaching the word of God. When they're not diluting the scripture. You go to so many places today, they're diluting the word of God, ladies and gentlemen. There's such a dilution of the scriptures, and worse still, there's a twisting of the word of God. We need to be in the places where the pastor is preaching the word, the truth, and nothing but the truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. And so the tree of life, it's so vital, ladies and gentlemen. We need to be connected to the tree of life. It's so vital that we are planted in God's house. Hallelujah. Amen. I think that one of the most precious things in life is to be a Christian and to be connected with people who are like-minded. Hallelujah. And with the same vision, and you feel a sense of belonging and a sense of destiny with the people that God has planted you with. Amen. Amen. Now, finally, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 4. The book of Proverbs, chapter 15 and verse 4. It says that a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Do you know how significant this is, ladies and gentlemen? That life and death are in the power of the tongue. Every time you speak to someone, you have the power to release life over them. Not death, life. The sword of the spirit is not held in the hands. Interestingly, it comes forth from the lips. It's released to the spoken word. And notice where the sheath of the sword is carried. It's carried by the belt of truth. In other words, it's the rhema word. The spoken word is carried by the logos, the written word of God. I'm telling you, I'm surprised. I go to many churches to preach, and I find out that a lot of people don't even believe the Bible today. We're a Bible-believing church. Amen. Amen. We believe in the word of God. I believe in the inerrant and infallibility of the word of God. Amen. I mean, there are pastors who don't even believe in the second coming of Jesus anymore. There are pastors who don't even believe in the virgin birth of Jesus. We need to go back to the word of God. Amen. The word of God has to be the foundation that we do of whatever we do in the church. Now, I want you to turn to one more scripture as I bring this to a closing in Psalm 103, please. Psalm 103 and verses 1 to 5. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Psalm 103. And, you know, Psalm 103 are not just cute lyrics to a song that we know, but we are commanded, do not forget his benefits. So let me read this to you. Psalm 103 and verses 1 to 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. Now, Jesus endured the cross because he didn't forget the benefits. The Bible says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Amen. Remembering the benefits is vital because it helps keeps us in perspective, right perspective. The benefit of the Lord adds years to our lives, and it renews us. So here we see five things that David tells us that God has done for us in order for our youth to be restored and renewed to us. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Number one, who forgives all our iniquities. I tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think that we have understood the power of forgiveness. Micah 7 and verse 18 tells us that our God is a God who pardons iniquity and passing over the transgressions of the remnant. Forgiveness releases us from the weight of guilt and of shame and of sin. And when that happens, when you feel a sense of forgiveness, that's the most wonderful thing in the world. You feel a release from that guilt and from that shame, and you are renewed in the Spirit. Renewed in the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's why repentance has to become a lifestyle. Not just a one moment event in your life when you came out at the altar call. It's got to be a daily, daily walk with God. A daily renewal, a daily repentance. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I just want to read Job 33 because this is so good. Hallelujah. Job 33, just as a little side for us today. And this morning as I was meditating the scriptures. But let's look at Job 33. And here is a man who is going through a trial in his life. But it says here in verse 20, so that his life abhors bread and his soul succulent food. His flesh wastes away from sight and his bones stick out where once were not seen. Yes, his soul draws near to the pit and his life to the executioners. If there is a messenger for him, a mediator, one among a thousand to show man God's uprightness, then God is gracious to him and says, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be young like a child's, and he shall return to the days of his youth. Woo! Hallelujah! That's what forgiveness does, ladies and gentlemen. Your flesh will be young again, and you will return to the days of your youth. He shall pray to God, and he will delight in him. Whoa! He shall see his face with joy. He restores to man his righteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, don't underestimate the power of forgiveness. It is a great benefit in the Bible when your sins are forgiven you. Amen. The second great benefit is healing. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, healing is one of the great benefits and great themes in the Bible. When you are on a deathbed, as David was, with a debilitating disease, probably an inflammation of his loins, and all hope seems to pass you by, and all of a sudden you get healed. Boy, it's a benefit. About 10, 12 years ago, I had a problem with migraines. Constant migraines. And those of you who suffered from migraines, the moment you get a migraine, your day's ruined. And so I'm at this luncheon, and it was a Chinese restaurant in Singapore, packed with people. And I was with a pastor, and I could feel all the symptoms of this migraine coming back. You know, I see the lights, and I said to this pastor, oh dear, I think I'm just going to get a migraine right now. And he said to me, he said, Pastor Young, he said, God has given me a gift of healing. He says, my gift of healing specifically is for those people with migraines. He said, when I pray for people with other sicknesses, they don't seem to get healed. But when I pray for people with migraines, they always get healed. He says, could I pray with you? Now, the restaurant is packed with people. And I said, sure. And before I could say anything, he lays his hands on my head in the middle of that jam-packed restaurant. And at the top of his voice, in the name of Jesus, I pray for healing. Boy, I was so embarrassed, you know. I started slipping down the chair, and everybody's watching. The whole restaurant is watching, and I'm so embarrassed. And you know, the Lord spoke to me. He says, do you want to be embarrassed or do you want to be healed? I said, I want to be healed. And so I started, oh, yes, hallelujah. And I tell you, it's been 12 years since I had a migraine, ladies and gentlemen. It's a benefit. It's a real benefit. I tell you, but. You know, my daughter had a tooth that was so out of joint. It was so ugly. I mean, and this is when she was younger, and I brought her to the dentist, and the dentist says, we've got to remove the tooth immediately. It's in a precarious position. And he put her on the chair, and he had all these injections, needles, and she freaked out. She screamed and she cried. And she came on to me, and Daddy, please don't let me go to this. I said to the dentist, we'll do this another day. I brought her home. I brought her to a room. I didn't know what to do. And I looked to the Lord. I said, Lord, please do something. Help us, Lord. I don't know what to do in this situation. The next day, the tooth drops out by itself. Just drops out by itself. You know, ladies and gentlemen, our God delights to heal His children. Amen. And today I want to pray for people. I just feel that there is an healing anointing in this room today. The Lord wants to touch you because healing rejuvenates your youth. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Claim your healing today. Salvation is one of the great benefits. Is there another benefit that's greater than salvation? Amen. Long-suffering, tender mercies, satisfaction. These are all the great benefits that come from the cross. And all these benefits are directly a result of the cross. And what they do for us is they restore our youth to us. Amen. I'm 53 this year. When I crossed my 50th birthday, it was a very significant moment for me. You know, in the Bible, the 50th year of a person's life is a big deal. At the age of 50, the priests and the Levites have to retire mandatorily. 50. If they were serving in the tabernacle at the age of 50, they had to retire because really the work in the tabernacle was very tedious. I mean, they were literally butchers. At 25, the Levites began the ministry. At 30, the priests began their ministry. At 50, they had to retire. But in the Jewish culture, retirement is not like the way we think retirement is. Their retirement is refirement. At 50, we don't retire. We reload for the next season. At 50, we don't retire. We refire. Hallelujah. And something happened to me when I crossed my 50th birthday. I tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, the most productive season in my life was when I crossed my 50th birthday. I tell you this, the best years of your life are still ahead of you. And God has made me more productive than ever before. And I'm enjoying this season in my life. You know, and when we are young, when we are 25 to 50, that's really the prime of our lives. That's when we're strongest. But at 50 onwards, it's not the strength, it's the wisdom that you carry. That's going to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Amen. So I want to encourage some of you who are more mature that today the Lord wants to renew your youth. And He wants to put hope in your heart. And He wants to say to you that the best years of your life are ahead of you. And the best work that you have is ahead of you. The best work. Okay, one more scripture and I'm done with Psalm 110, please. It's a beautiful scripture. Psalm 110 and verse 3. Psalm 110. And this is a picture of Jesus, right? It says that your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power, in the beauty of holiness. From the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. Now, this is a picture of the Messiah. When we meet Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, we will see Him in the prime of His youth. The Word of God tells us that when we see Him, we will be like Him. In other words, I believe that when we have our new resurrection bodies, we will be at the prime of our youth. Amen. I look forward to that day when our youth is fully restored to us physically as we are being renewed spiritually. Paul tells us that while our outer man is perishing and decaying, my inner man, he says, is being renewed. One day, our outer man will be the same as our inner man. Hallelujah. I want to just close with this thought. I read a few days ago the life of Kenneth Hagin and the great Word of Faith preacher. When Kenneth was about 50 years of age, he realized that he was losing his memory. He couldn't forget. He forgot things and his short-term memory loss started coming in. And he was very concerned that he could not even remember very simple things. And so he went to the Lord in prayer and he said, Lord, what's wrong with me? I seem to be forgetting so many things. And the Lord said to him, Kenneth, there was a time that you read an article about how every day millions of brain cells are dying. And he said, you believe that article instead of believing my word that you have the mind of Christ. Kenneth repented and said, Lord, I'm sorry. And he put on the mind of Christ and he began to walk in that mind of Christ. And at the age of 80, in his mid-80s, he was lucid and he was sharp in his memory and he could recall every tiny detail. Didn't lose his memory at all. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you today. You don't have to believe the lie that the world gives to you. We have the mind of Christ. Amen. We can be strong as we can. That we can believe God for. The word of God is true. Hallelujah. God is no man's debtor. Today He wants to renew your youth. Hallelujah. He wants to strengthen you. Amen. And He wants to rejuvenate you. Hallelujah. Spiritually and also physically. So I want you to stand up because today we're going to have a great time in prayer. And I want to ask the musicians to come.